Welcome back to your ears' happy place. It's the Oklahoma Today podcast. We are back live, recorded on a series of ones and zeros at the Vault 405 in downtown Edmond. This week we have Editor-in-Chief Nate Gunner.
Hello.
Managing Editor Carly Ibarra.
Hi.
Web Editor Greg Elwell. That's just me. And this week we have trapped celebrity chef and entrepreneur Jonathan Stranger with Bar Cicchetti, and we're going to force him to tell us how to make those lamb meatballs.
Among other things.
Yeah. That's right.
Welcome, Jonathan.
Thank you. I want to know what other things are.
We'll have to get into that. But first.
Totally. Oh, yes. Sorry. But first, the Oklahoma Today podcast is brought to you by MIO, the Made in Oklahoma Coalition. Celebrating its 20th year, the MIO Coalition represents over 70 Oklahoma food processors and agricultural producers. These companies are known for products you can depend on for consistency, quality, taste, and flavor. Local has a name, and the name is MIO, the Made in Oklahoma Coalition. Learn more at www.miocoalition.com.
Yay! We love them.
We do.
Yeah, they're awesome.
This week, though, we love, well, you know what we always love, not just this week, but we love Jonathan Stranger.
We do.
Who has been?
Thanks, guys.
Who's been? You've been making food that is driving Oklahoma crazy for a while now.
It'll be
for a minute.
I moved back. It'll be almost a decade.
Oh my gosh! Wow.
I know. And the funny thing was, when I moved back, there was no intention of staying here. Greg, I think I've told you this before. I moved back here and started working with a friend of my mother's starting a farm in El Reno, Oklahoma.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know that I knew that.
Yeah. I had just gotten out of drug and alcohol treatment, and they're like, you should probably take a break from, you know, everything that it is that you thought was a good idea, like the Seinfeld effect on life. Like, what you think you should do, don't.
Right.
Doesn't seem to work out. And I was like, that's fair. Evidence proves that. And so moved home and started working on a farm.
Wow.
Because it was in food, which I had done my whole life, and then. But it was just super chill. It was like me, my dog, go out to my friend's farm. It was just chill. And what we started to do was we'd go to OCOKC Farmers Market, which I love and still going strong. And we would sell our stuff. And I had convinced him not to grow things like squash and tomatoes and peppers, which we grew. But I was like, instead of doing that, let's do this or this or that. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I was like, it'll be fine. Does it grow here? Yeah, it's just seeds. Let's see what happens. And so he started growing all this cool stuff. And he's coming from, you know, at the time I moved back here from New York City. So they were like, I was like, we'll just sell it at the restaurants. Like, that's what they do at, you know, the farmer's market in the city. So yeah. We started going to the restaurants, and everyone was like, nah. I was like, what? Like, no, we're cool. Like, we got our stuff. And I was like, all right. That's a thing. So I started... This is years ago. That little table one thing.
I remember table one very fondly.
It was in a catering kitchen behind an old Brahms. And I was just with a friend and we were talking about it. It was a hellhole. but it was great. It was fun. You know. And yeah. So we just started cooking the stuff from the farm and from the farmer's market. Not really a thing. It was just kind of extra money, and slowly but surely it worked itself out. But
Wow, because I'm usually so predisposed against hell holes, so it's good to hear
we turned the lights down really low, so when you were I think the most people we ever could fit in there was like 10 people or 12 people.
Okay.
And we turned the lights down really low, so you couldn't really see everything. And I had no money, and so I convinced friends to come for beer and food, and we just cleaned this thing like as hard as we could. But you know, it was fun. It's kind of, it reminds me of that. You know the Jack White song, Little Room? It's like 46 seconds.
Yeah.
Like I always think of that song when trying to come up with something new or a different idea, but that's where it all kind of started in Oklahoma.
Wow.
Is a good way of putting it. Yeah, I really had no intention of staying. I met my wife, now my wife, but, and things just kind of kept keeping me here, so.
And you've got a huge portfolio of things you're doing now.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got a lot that we're doing. We just opened Bar Cicchetti.
Yeah. Which, great. We were all there on the soft opening night. Fantastic.
Yeah, that's right. It's weird. So right now, that's my favorite one. Mm-hmm. I feel like with the different projects we have, and I'm grateful we have, you know, many successful things right now, but you're being kind of a creative person, you kind of what you're liking the best flows at times.
Absolutely.
You know, sometimes people are like, oh, don't you love? And I'm like, meh. I mean, I love all the restaurants we have and all the different businesses we have, but right now, I love it because it's something different, I think, for Oklahoma City, the way we'd laid it out, the decor, the food.
Yeah, so for our listeners who haven't had a chance to go yet, Bar Chiquetti, by the way, is in Deep Deuce in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, Deep Deuce.
Mm-hmm. Yep, right across from the Aloft Hotel in the old Urban Johnny's space. But tell our listeners a little bit about kind of what the menu is all about over there.
So the menu, so Bar Chiquetti is a pretty generic word. It basically means to share, you know, but it's not necessarily, you guys have been there, it's not necessarily shared plates. It's really the idea of sharing experience together more than anything. So that word comes from the Mediterranean. I think a lot of people that have talked about Mediterranean, they think gyro or tzatziki, which is, hummus, which is, the Mediterranean's big. It's a big place.
Yes.
There's a lot of water. And so, it touches a lot of cultures. So we've kind of picked across, and I actually was fortunate enough to go to Spain right before this kind of got open. So ate through the south of Spain, had been in Italy, no Italian food. And so we kind of picked from those areas, a little bit of North Africa, because a lot of those flavors fit the palate of this area of our country very well. You know, it's spicy, there's a lot of meat, a lot of charcuterie, you know, a lot of cheese making, a lot of great wine. So we kind of took the dishes from that region that naturally fit what we enjoy doing here and consuming here, and then adapted them just a little bit. So we did a lot of appetizers, a lot of great entrees, soup sandwiches, and we kept the lunch and dinner menu the same because at the end of the day, it is kind of like a bar. So when you're in Spain and you go to a place that's a bar, the food is what the food is, no matter what time of day you go. So we built the menu to really be able to, you can come all day. And I think for everything that I've done, this is probably the lowest price point for people. I mean, some things on the menu, Greg has it pulled up. I'm going to be wrong, which is sad because I just wrote it. But, you know, there some things are $8, $9, $5, $6. You know, the happy hour menu, you can get things for $4.
Yeah. So,
and that's, we want it to be a place where people can come at any time and feel comfortable. We still get a lot of times when we do new menus, people see them and they go, what is this now? And that's the fun part, you know. I think
that's one always, thing about food. It's enjoyable
for me. Like, I don't want to eat the same thing every day. I don't know how many conversations I've had with Greg about random places across the state of Oklahoma that we enjoy eating. Yeah. Or he'll tell me a place, and I'm like, "Is that real?" And he's like, "Yeah, I was there." I'm like, "All right," and he'll ask me the same thing. So
it's fun. Well, one thing that I love about Bar Chiquetti is you guys. There are definitely some things, and this is a Jonathan Stranger specialty, is every time you walk to a restaurant, there's going to be something in there that you don't know what it is, and then you eat it, and it's your new favorite thing.
Yeah.
Like, but then there's also, like you hit so many comfort food things, and especially Bar Chiquetti, I think, is one of the most comforting restaurants you've got, and the one, weirdly, the thing that I keep going back to, because Nate and I ate there opening night, and I've been back a couple of times and really enjoyed so much, but the patatas bravas,
so good.
they're just
how
potatoes.
Did you make potatoes like, so good? Like, it's not like I don't eat potatoes, but then I ate those and I'm like, maybe I've never eaten potatoes before.
I'm a potato nut. I'll eat them any way they're prepared, but like when I order them, I don't expect to be blown away because I feel like with potatoes, it's all been done, and also I'm Irish, so like it, you know.
Yeah, it's in your
but absolutely blew me away. Like it was like I saw potatoes in a whole new light after that.
It's and then
it doesn't feel hyperbolic enough. Like listeners, I'm not kidding. It's so good.
So I mean, this is the first time I've really thought about. I guess that's not totally true because on Kroot you guys had like the daily grilled cheese.
Yeah, I still have that.
But I felt like the focus on the bocadillos. Little sandwiches, really great, like perfect for a small, quick meal or a snack while you're watching a game at the bar. Which, by the way, I love the TV setup at Bar Chiquetti because I am not someone who I like a sports bar for sports occasionally, but also it's a really nice restaurant. Like you can go there for a date, and if there's not a game on, they've got the TVs turned around and there's art on the other side of them, and it's such a cool deal. It's like it feels functional, like a functional space in a way that I haven't seen done. It feels like a lot of places either say, we have TVs and they are on all the time, and this is what we do, or we're anti TV, and yeah. So you guys have really found the best of both worlds there.
It's tough. So I fall in the anti TV, just in general. Yeah. I don't really watch a lot of stuff. So the whole thing with the design, the televisions, as you touched on at Bar Cicchetti, is we want to make it a place where you can create your own experience, so to speak. I think experience is probably the biggest thing nowadays, mm-hmm. especially considering yeah. The human eyeballs being blasted with stuff at all times.
Yes.
I mean, like, overload. So we want you to, a lot of times, even I'm guilty of this, when you do a restaurant, you're saying, this is how you're going to be in my space, or this is what you're going to do, or what I'm hopefully, you know, pushing on you as an experience or hoping for you to expect. And with Bar Cicchetti, I was like, I really wanted to think more about the customer and what you want to do. You know, mm-hmm. So when our guests come in, it's like, if you want to come and watch a game, you can feel comfortable doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a sports guy. It's Oklahoma. We love sports here. Can you do that in this space? Yes. Can you just go upstairs in the lounge and only come in for cocktails and hang out with a large group of friends? Mm-hmm. Yes. Can you do a two-person date night and, like, ball out in, like, a little hidden dark corner? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, you can. And I think that's what, when people come in, like, I don't even know, like, what this is. And, like, it's whatever you want it to be.
Yeah.
But that's the whole point.
That's great.
And I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but part of what informed the space and a way that this is maybe different from some of your previous restaurants is that there had been a fairly successful restaurant
yeah.
there previously. And when it left, when Urban Johnny's was gone, there was kind of an absence felt. And when Bar Cicchetti came in, I really felt like you guys were saying, this is our place, we're making it what we want, but also we understand this neighborhood and what this neighborhood craves, and we want to be that for you while also being our own thing.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing we did with this one is we just kind of canvassed the neighborhood in a way and just asked people, what do they want in the neighborhood? You know, it's if you want to know what people want, the best thing to do is ask them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what we did when we went through this process, is what did you like? What did you not like about the space? Mm-hmm. You know, how can we tweak it? And then, of course, do our little, you know, our little spin on it to make it, you know, something. And, you know, that's kind of the way we went about it. You know, we have people that come in there during the day and we'll kind of nook up in the lounge and a lot of people go to, like, coffee shops and work.
Sure.
We just have people that have like to have cocktails while they work during the day. And I'm like, bring it
that
back, dude.
Yeah.
Do you. Yeah, do you.
That's a madman sort
yeah.
of stuff
yeah,
right there.
There's these two guys that, like, there's that lounge area with the couch. They just kind of take it over during the day. And I'm like, yeah.
We mentioned on Croot, you also have Osteria
yep.
And Bar Cicchetti, which are both with your partner Fabio Viviani,
Fabio
from yeah. From Top Chef,
yeah.
Famed chef, and he's got he has different restaurants all over the world, right?
Literally,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So,
yeah. How did that happen? How did that partnership come about?
That was pretty simple. We met at the University of Oklahoma at
wow.
the School of Entrepreneurship was putting on a thing in regards to hospitality.
Okay.
We hadn't met each other through, like, different events, being chefs, like, way in the past, and. I was invited to come down, and I was like, it was cold. Like, I just remember being like, it's so cold. I don't want to drive down to Normandy and, like, have to get out and find a place to park at the university and all that.
At worst.
And I was like, I got nothing else really going on. Like, I'm being lazy. So I just went, thought it'd be fun. And we ended up hanging out afterwards and talking for a little while. And, I think within, like, a week we came up with what is Osteria and decided to do it together. And it's kind of just been not a look back since. And he's been, not only is he a dear friend, but he's been super helpful for us understanding systems, restaurant management. I mean, a big thing that I know is cooking. I mean, that's mm-hmm. what at the end of the day, I'm just a cook. So he really brought a lot to the table in terms of understanding kind of the nuances of the business behind it. Obviously, mm-hmm. literally being an international brand and kind of mentoring me in a way on stuff like
that's
awesome. And how to grow, which I'm forever grateful for. And we've now done Bar Cicchetti, and I think we have two more slated in the
Ooh.
Next like 14 months.
That's
so
really exciting.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, we always kind of, I used to, when I was young, always think, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And no matter what, this is going to get done. And, that's the wrong way to live for myself is I've kind of now look at, like, people ask, like, as an entrepreneur or a business person or even a chef, like, you know, what do you want to do? What are you trying to accomplish? And I've kind of given up on the idea of goals because sometimes life, that you're not supposed to achieve that or not supposed to have that for myself. And what I've realized is I kind of, the best analogy I can look at is, for me, life is just kind of like a river, and I kind of let other people in life guide me down it. And when I end up kind of seeing something shiny on the bank, and, you know, you end up getting smashed against the rocks and all that, and or you end up kind of beating myself. I end up kind of beating my head up against whatever I'm trying to get done, and then I end up with it, and I'm like, what am I even doing with this thing? So I try to just stay in the flow and kind of see what comes, and ever since we've done that, I think we've been more successful than I've ever been, just in life. I'm not talking like nothing financially, just like happy. And a big part of that is just, you know, why are we doing this thing? And for us, the mantra is, does it create something positive or a positive moment for somebody else? And if the answer is no, then we don't do it, regardless of like what a spreadsheet says and all that other just kind of business stuff. If it doesn't feel right or doesn't feel like it's adding something to someone else's day, and I'm not trying to say be like the best thing that's ever happened to somebody, just making that a moment in the day a little bit better. And if we can't, if something looks like it can't do that consistently, then there's no point. Because at the end of the day, we're in the hospitality business, and it's all about providing exceptional service to people to give them a great moment, the best moment you can at that moment, and then obviously really good food and service in a space that's comfortable. So if that doesn't exist, then we just don't do it. Because we've gotten a lot of things that if you look at them financially, business-wise, could be very successful, but then we have to look at, well, what are we giving up? Like, is it worth not being able to spend time with my family? Is it worth not being able to spend time with our guests at our current restaurants? Like, and if it takes away from any of that, then we just don't do it. That's kind of been the mantra lately.
Well,
I don't know if it's right. We'll see what happens.
And one thing that really impresses me about kind of your portfolio, I guess, is the way you've reached. So Prairie Wolf.
Prairie Wolf Distillery.
Prairie Wolf Distillery is yours now. St. Mark's Chop Room.
Love that place.
Just some of the best steaks around. And you guys are you all still getting from Macomb?
Yeah, we're still getting our Wagyu from Macomb, which is just kind of a little bit south of Shawnee. We are actually in the middle of, we've been working with an amazing couple. I'll just refer to them here as the Berries, out in Arcadia, Oklahoma, and have been working on raising Aka Ushi from calf on grass its entire life. So added, no feed, nothing. It's been 2 years now. We still haven't butchered anything. So everyone's like, oh, internal marbling, you know, and there's a lot of, you can do so many things to an animal, especially to beef with how industrialized it's become, to bring on fat content and internal marbling as fast as possible. But you're not eating a healthy animal, which means your body's not healthy when you eat it. So this was a project that they started, and I got to be, they asked me to be a part of it. I'm grateful to do it, and it's been awesome, is we're just going to let an animal be raised naturally. So the best way to get internal marbling is just time, you know, and it goes against the money-making way of doing it, but so we still haven't butchered one yet, so I'm still, we're just giving it time, it should be this, I think in about a month, we'll send the first ones to process, excited about that. So we've started our own program for that stuff.
And then tell me a little bit, you guys have, there's another new concept, and I don't think it's gotten out there as much, but you guys are doing meals.
Yeah, so that one, so that goes back to everything I just talked about, which is trying to bring something positive for somebody. So it's called I2U Culinary Solutions. So it's located on Western and Wilshire. Yeah, I should know that. I said that was a question mark. Where do I go every day? So that was birthed. One of our partners is an orthopedic surgeon, and he was asking me, it was like, hey, I fix broken bones. So what is there anything in food that can help heal bones faster? I was like, real food in general, we'll just do that. So we started looking through it and diving into it, and this opportunity came across. Lakeside Women's Hospital was looking for a new caterer, and he happened to know that and was like, hey, what if we took what we've been talking about and put that into real life practice, you know? And I was like, all right, I think you know this. I had a pretty intense surgery a couple of years ago and was laid up for like 3 months afterwards. Wow. And I remember being in the hospital, like my whole, like all this was just wrong. I don't.
For the listener, he's just pointing at his body.
Yeah. All the internal parts were wrong, and so they had to go. I'm not a doctor, and so it's one of those things. I don't want to know what you're gonna do. Just knock me out and get it done, and I'm gonna go home.
Yeah.
So
probably the less I know, the better.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, I'm just gonna freak out for the next 2 weeks. Go online and go. That's it. Yeah. I got my talk.
Right. I had a good run. Yeah.
Yeah. This is fun. Yeah. So they put my insides back together, and that's
I'm not of operation.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. They were here. They're supposed to be here. They did that.
Right.
But I was being fed just awful food. I'm like,
oh, it's the worst.
It's the worst. And I'm like, how is this in any way, like, healing me? And it's not. Right. Not at all. So anyway, that kind of got my head thinking about it. We put it into Lakeside Women's Hospital, and we basically geared the meals around kind of using food as medicine. I'm not making any claims that it is, you know, necessarily, but we brought on this great guy. His name is Brent Wilson, who has an amazing story, who's a nutritionist, certified diabetes educator, and a bunch of other letters. He's a certified, you know, personal trainer. And so what we've started to do is work with people, whether in the hospitals or outside, to basically help them get back to a baseline. So a lot of people we work with have high A1C, you know, they have diabetes, you know, overweight, looking at bariatric surgery, and they come to ITU. Brent runs, so at the facility, we run full labs on people.
Wow.
And he is able to, I'm not, he is able to at all, he's able to kind of break down what you're lacking, what you need, work through your goals with you, and then we've built this like massive back of house menu to kind of deal with all these problems, and then he in essence prescribes you a diet.
That's amazing.
And the meals are delivered to your home. You just heat them up. It's easy. You can do as many as you want, and then there's physical training that goes along with it. And the coolest thing about what we do.
So listeners, as you're thinking about the new year and
if you're getting ready to make those commitments,
there you go.
Brent will hold you to it. So in a very positive way. And the coolest thing about, I think, what we do as opposed to, like, nothing against them because I think they're really cool to get people cooking, but things like Blue Apron or these other programs is you're literally meeting with someone who's scientifically looking at what this food is doing to your body throughout your process with ITU.
Wow.
So he takes your labs consistently, looks, and adjusts the prescription, i.e. the food, based on how you're reacting to everything.
Hmm. Awesome.
And it's found, you can go on our website, it's just ituculinary.com, and check out all the different things that he's accomplished, a bunch of testimonials. We had a guy that was massive overweight, you know, diabetic, didn't know what to do, came to Brent. He was one of our first kind of guests that came through ITU, and just recently he completed a half marathon. He's off diabetes medication and insulin, off cholesterol medicine. And it's just done with food. You know, a lot of the things that we put in our bodies nowadays, processed sugar, processed grains, it's terrible. I mean, I really think future generations, like 600 years from now, if humans are still around, they're just going to look back at our time and be like, what was their deal with corn?
Yeah, right?
They're really into this stuff.
Yeah.
And
like, it's like how we think of leeches now, right? Like, well, they were really big fans of those.
Yeah,
things.
It turns out they're like, great. Yeah. Like, they're actually great.
Delicious.
It's, you know, so it's one of those things, I think, you know, and it's mainly a Western diet, but there's so much processed food and crap that people put in their bodies. And I get it. It's convenience. It's quick. It's easy. You know, if you talk about fast food and things of that nature, you know, quick heat up meals that are just packed full of preservatives. Mm-hmm. You know, we basically, I mean, human beings are, everyone's got their opinion, whether you're vegan or whatever. For myself, you know, I prefer to eat mainly just fruits, basically plants and healthy animals, you know, meaning real animals. So wild game, wild fish, and then, you know, with the beef from our ranch, I'm cool with.
Sure.
And if you stick to that, the body can handle all that really well. You start packing on all this other stuff, and it doesn't know what to do with it. And so we eliminate a lot of that, which I myself, you know, do the program. So it's, at first, for me, like, ice cream is like, oh, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, man, mint chocolate chip. And I don't want, like, dairy-free soy ice cream, personally. I want, like, the dirtiest, fattest ice cream ever. And so that's probably been my hardest one. But as I've learned to let go of that, the rewards are, you know, are insane. So, I mean, Obviously, I'm the oldest I've ever been, believe it or not.
Weird, today?
Yeah, today.
Well, congratulations.
Hey, oh, thank you, awesome. Thank you. Thank you, I made it to here.
I was the oldest I've ever been yesterday, and then
really?
It's all downhill from here.
Oh, yeah. No, it's all uphill. It's all uphill. But yeah, I mean, I'm probably I feel the best that I've ever felt at this point
That's
in
great.
My life. And he's done great work for people. So if you're looking for a way without taking a bunch of drugs and all weird side effects, which mm-hmm. they just get more interesting when you read the commercials.
oh my gosh.
It's just food. So
causes
he does
zombieism.
A great job.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Weird dreams.
For migraines, take this. Might cause headache.
Leaky stool.
Yeah. Right,
what is
that? And on that note.
Yeah.
But we do want to say, too, really quick, we should note that Bar Cicchetti is a sponsor of our
Cicchetti.
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 I'm always saying Cicchetti.
Cicchetti. Cicchetti.
It's a Cicchetti.
How did I take 2 years of Italian and I can't say this
that
correctly?
I don't know.
But you guys sponsored our special bombing section in our Oklahoma City issue,
yeah.
which is getting to subscribers right now mm-hmm. and available on newsstands soon. So we just want to say thank you for that.
Thank you.
It turned out to be a really meaningful thing and a cool, like we all spent 3 weeks reading about the bombing.
Crying. Every day,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I was talking to somebody the other day, and I was like, I am just emotionally drained, and I don't know what that's about. And we were talking for about 30 minutes, and I was like, and then I've had to spend the last 3 weeks reading about the bombing, and it's been amazing.
That's
There's
heavy,
cool stuff,
man.
But it's like,
yeah.
Oh, right, that's why I'm so drained. Like, it took me a minute
yeah.
to kind of get there. But, yeah, thank you so much for that, because that was, I think people are really going to like it, and you guys were just crucial in bringing that together, so thank you.
Well, I'm glad we could do it. There's, you know, we get hit up to, you know, sponsor, advertise, marketing, all that stuff. You know, it's like on a daily basis. And when this one came across the desk, it was kind of that, like, yeah, we need to figure out a way to do this one. That's such a big part of the history of Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
I mean, I was in middle school when it happened, and we'll never forget the day that it happened. The school I went to was close to downtown, and, you know, so we felt kind of I'll never forget feeling the kind of rumble of it.
Mm-hmm.
Through. We were in one of those, like, assembly sort of situations, and everyone was like, what is that? And they're like, oh, they're watching a movie in the other room. It's like, that's a hell of a sound system.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just one of those things. It's kind of ingrained in the fabric of the city, and I still think, even though it was a horrible, you know, incident that happened, which is just freak, you don't ever expect something like that. It's to be able to see a city come together after that and what's come from that, you know, it binds people together. And I think people have rebounded as well as we can. I mean, our downtown, if whatever that, I know I can't curse, but POS is, you know,
yes.
decision was, it was completely opposite. I mean, look what's happened to downtown since. So, you know, the memorial, I think, is still one of the best places in the city to visit. You know, it'll always be a part of, you know, our generation, and hopefully generations will continue to learn about it. But, you know, I learned the other day, I happened to also live in New York City when, you know, 9/11 happened. And it's weird to think, like, my kids have no idea what any of this is.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's important that people remember what happened to this city and how the city has rebounded from it, what it's come from. And it happens constantly. I was, you know, fortunate enough to be part of, after the May 5th tornado, I think, Greg, you were down there when
we did the
Chef Relief thing. And it was so cool to see how many people came out just to support something. I mean, at the end of the day, one of the reasons that I actually had this conversation with a much older gentleman, asked him, he's very successful, blah, 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 and asked him, why stay in Oklahoma? And the kind of catch answer is the people. And when I was young, I was like, but moments like that really show you who people are. And when I first moved to Oklahoma and started cooking, I was like, I don't understand why, like, a place with bad food and great service does well, but the food I'm doing, blah, 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 all ego, you know, young person crap. But it's because we treat each other well, you know. I mean, you don't get that. I've lived a lot of places around the world, and there's just something about being in Oklahoma. People are just nice. People care, truly care. You know, I never forget when I moved to New York City and I held the door open and it had Dwayne Reed for a woman to come in, because that's what you do, right? That's
what
we do here.
Yeah.
That's not what they do. Like, you just stand there and people keep going back and forth. And I'm like, no, one of you is supposed to, like, the next person takes the door and help. They're like, no, we don't do that.
Yeah.
I'm like, word. So, you know, I love that about Oklahoma. And, you know, at least to help get, you know, remind people of, you know, the burden and the blessing that came from that situation is pretty cool.
Absolutely. So you can pick up the Oklahoma City issue soon.
So thank you so much for taking the time.
I loved it. I think this medium of podcasting has only been – we're only scratching the surface. It's super cool.
Yeah, we're having a great time with it too. And one of the things that we do every week
– all this week, you can visit Jenks's Kringle's Christmas Land to experience a vintage family Christmas in the modern age as you walk through Kringle's Christmas Land. During this magical winter event, the Jenks location will transform into a lighted wonderland with life-size animated displays from the 40s through the 90s. Besides hand-painted human animations, visitors can also see Santa and his reindeer, as well as other animals. The elaborate special effects and realistic snow blowing in the middle of the blizzard scene truly bring this year's vintage family Christmas theme to life. On December 26th, it's Let's Celebrate Kwanzaa at the Rudisill Regional Library in Tulsa. All ages are invited to attend this event held at the Rudisill Regional Library. It is an annual African-American harvest celebration, and guests can learn more about the rich Kwanzaa tradition. Come by at the Mamanem portion of the festivities, featuring talented African-American drummers, spoken word artists, and more. Also on December 26th, Robert Earl Keen is in concert at the Jones Assembly in Oklahoma City. Enjoy the holidays with Mr. Keen as he routes his Cosmic Cowboy Christmas tour through the Jones Assembly. The Houston native left college and cut his teeth touring with folk greats like Townes Van Zandt, Lyle Lovett, and Guy Clark. He's built just an amazing career. His 1994 hit Merry Christmas from the Family, a tale of his dysfunctional family celebration, helped inspire this annual holiday show. In addition to holiday favorites, expect to hear many of the songwriter's Americana hits while surrendering to the charms of his engaging and whimsical personality. The show also includes special guest Shiny Ribs. On December 27th, head to Stillwater for the final Friday Art Crawl. Inspired by First Friday events in a lot of major cities, this lively art walk has become a highly anticipated Stillwater tradition. Stroll the streets of Stillwater to discover visual art, live entertainment, and interactive activities tucked inside community galleries, studios, restaurants, and other local businesses. On December 28th, head to Lake Thunderbird State Park in Norman for the Eagle Watch. The adventure awaits you along the shores of Lake Thunderbird. Meet at the Discovery Cove Nature Center within Lake Thunderbird State Park for an eagle information session at 1 p.m., followed by a park naturalist guiding you through the park to catch glimpses of magnificent eagles in their winter home from your vehicle. Be sure to bring your binoculars and camera to capture the moment. Dress appropriately for the 3 or 4 outdoor stops made to watch for eagles around the lake. Each Eagle Watch is limited to only 15 vehicles, so reservations are required. Join the watch party at Lake Thunderbird in hunt for these incidental winter visitors. Once again, thank you guys for listening to the Oklahoma Today podcast. We really love having you. We would love also if you would go ahead, visit oklahomatoday.com and subscribe to the magazine. You know, we put out a magazine every couple months. Pretty good stuff. We would absolutely love if you would rate and review this podcast. If you've got any questions for us, send those to oktpod@travelok.com. Please just tune in again next week, and we'll talk to you then. Thanks a lot. Bye.